They say life insurance is like a parachute. If you don't have it the first time, odds are you won't need it again. Hi, I'm Rob West. A funny line, but all kidding aside, life insurance is the only way most people can provide for their families if they should die. But what happens when it ends? I'll talk about that first today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Of course, we're talking about term life insurance here, which we almost always recommend. It's far cheaper than whole life and doesn't mix investing with a death benefit. You're much better off investing separately from an insurance policy. Now, term insurance, by definition, ends when the term expires. And we often get this question from listeners. What then? Well, generally, you have four options. The first is to simply let the policy lapse. If you had a 20-year policy that's ending, at this stage of your life, it's quite possible that you no longer need life insurance. If the kids are grown and out of the house, supporting themselves and your spouse's income plus Social Security survivor benefits is sufficient, then life insurance is a needless expense that you can put to better use in your retirement account. But if you still have dependents who rely on your income or a spouse whose income can't meet expenses, then you still need to have some type of term policy. And that leaves you with three more options. The next is to get a completely new term policy when the current one expires. We normally recommend one with a death benefit of 10 to 12 times your salary. Don't be surprised by how much more a new policy at this later stage in life will cost. A 50-year-old healthy male can expect to pay around $80 a month for a 20-year, $500,000 policy, or around four times the cost for a 30-year-old. That's simply based on actuarial tables. It's nothing personal. Of course, if the policy is only to provide for your spouse and not dependent children, you may be able to get by with less. For example, a policy that would pay off just the remaining principal on your mortgage, if any. And while the cost of a new policy might have given you sticker shock, it's usually less than you'll have to pay to simply extend your existing policy, which is another option. Why is that, you may be asking? Well, if you decide to get a new policy, you'll have to go through all of the underwriting procedures you did at age 30, a medical exam, giving an extensive medical history, blood test, and so on. When all of that is complete, the insurance company has a pretty good idea of the risk it's taking on. Okay, so let's say you go through all of that and you're approved for a new term policy, but the monthly premiums are too high. Well, you have a few ways to bring them down. You can lower the death benefit. Instead of $500,000, maybe you can get by with just $250,000. The company may encourage you to buy more insurance than is necessary, so you have to keep your own needs in mind. You can also lower the term. Instead of getting a new 20-year policy, maybe you can get by with a 10-year term. Again, just long enough to get the mortgage paid off, for example. And you can save up and opt to pay your premiums annually instead of monthly. Some companies will give you up to a 5% discount for making a yearly lump sum payment. Your next option for when your term insurance policy expires is you can simply extend it. If you decide to go that route, there's usually no medical workup required. But since the insurer is going into this blind with no idea of any medical conditions that may have arisen in the past 20 years, the premiums will be higher than you'd have with a new policy, sometimes a lot higher. But keep in mind, if you have developed a serious medical condition, you may not be able to get a new policy at all. In that case, extending your current policy is definitely the way to go, if you can afford it. If you can't, it leaves you with your last option, getting what's called a simplified term or instant issue policy. As you might guess, an instant issue policy requires no medical checkup. You apply, you're approved, and you start paying premiums. And usually you can do all of that online. Now, if you're thinking that sounds too good to be true, there must be a catch. Actually, there are three. First, the death benefit with this type of term policy tends to be smaller. Second, the term is likely to be shorter. And three, it probably will cost a lot more than a regular term policy that includes a medical exam. But for some folks, an instant issue policy could be a real blessing when their current term policy expires. All right, I hope that was helpful. Your calls are next, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
Hope for the best, prepare for the worst. That's a slogan that's helped many people survive tough situations down through the years. It is really good advice, at least in some sense. After all, who wants to be caught completely unprepared for bad news? But is this slogan helpful when we think about the earth? In other words, should we hope that God won't flood the earth again, but prepare just in case he does? In Genesis 9, the Lord said these words to Noah, "I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth." And because of that, the earth survived, and Jesus, the Savior, came to us. What a promise. Anchor Devotional is available in print monthly. Visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
You ever find yourself caught in a maddening cycle of mundane routines? Ever feel like there's got to be something more? This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress concludes his series on choosing the extraordinary life. Then we'll begin a new study on the Proverbs. It's called The Solomon Secrets. Join us all this week for Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
We're delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, it's time to take your calls and questions. We're live today. Our team is standing by. We'd love to know what you're thinking about financially, or perhaps you have a testimony of God's faithfulness. You've been applying these principles for months or maybe years or maybe even decades, and you've seen God's word bear fruit in your life, in your finances, and you'd love to give testimony to that. Whatever it might be, we'd love to hear from you today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. We've got lines open and we'd love to hear from you. All right, let's begin today in New Hampshire. Hi, James. Thank you for calling, sir. Go right ahead.
Hi. Yes, my son has 5 credit cards that he's paying on plus a car loan.
Okay.
So he has 6 payments and it's almost $1,000 a month.
Yeah.
And he's going to school full time and he's having a hard time making these payments, and he's wondering if he should consolidate the credit cards to lower his monthly payment.
Yeah, I would be really hesitant to recommend that he do that. Let's back up for a second. James, tell me a bit about kind of how he got into this situation and whether or not you feel like he's made some changes to correct this moving forward.
I don't believe he's made the changes yet. I think he's spending more money than he has.
Yeah.
And that's how he got into this situation. But he was military, Marine, 6 years. So they're paying for his schooling. But the money that he's going to school full time, so he's not working. And he's scraping to make this payment every month.
Yeah.
So I told him he should pay off the lowest one first, is what you guys usually recommend. But he's not even paying towards the principal. He's just paying interest.
Yeah, yeah. You know? What's the, on the five cards, roughly, what do you think he owes? How much?
He owes $21,000.
$21,000, yeah. So you're referring to the debt snowball, which is a great approach. But when we get up to these levels, I would say beyond kind of the number that I see is $4,000 in credit card debt. You know, at that point, it's really not efficient to continue to pay on them without getting the interest rates down, even if you snowball it, given especially where rates are now as the Fed has raised the Fed funds rate, variable rates, including credit card interest rates, are up. And so he's got so much going to interest, to your point, that he's really not even making any headway here. The reason I don't like the loan consolidation is it doesn't sound like in your description he's made the changes to get this under control. The problem with that is it would take some of the pressure off, because even though the interest rate would come down, it would probably involve a lower payment and a longer payback period, which would all of a sudden give him some relief. The problem is that alongside, you know, not treating the underlying issue, which is overspending, spending beyond his means, you know, you're going to call me back in 6 months and tell me that he's not only got this loan consolidation, but the credit cards are back. And that's just, exactly, you know, not going to, yeah, be helpful to him. So I think we've got to treat the problem, not the symptom. My preferred approach to handle this, James, is what's called debt management or credit counseling. It's not a new loan. The debt stays right where it is. The accounts would be closed, so they wouldn't be able to be used, and he would have to determine which of these cards go into the program. I'd encourage him to put all of them in and, you know, get on a balanced budget, start to build up some emergency fund, and go cash only. I don't think he has, you know, any reason moving forward to use credit cards until he demonstrates to himself that he can live within his means. What would happen, though, in debt management is he'd get one level monthly payment, so it would stay the same every month. It would fit into his budget, so they'd work with him on putting his spending plan together. But the beautiful part is that the interest rates would come down pretty significantly. So each of these creditors will have a lower interest rate that they offer through credit counseling. And so with the combination of that level payment and the lower interest rates, the level payment allows it to snowball. So as the balance comes down, then you've got a larger and larger amount going to principal every month. That snowball effect is going to help him get out of debt 80% faster. The key is, though, those accounts will be closed, which is, I think, essential to him moving forward, using a balanced budget, determining, you know, that he's going to be able to live within his means, making a commitment to do that, and not paying off, quote unquote, these credit cards with a new loan, keeping them open, and then allowing him to continue to fund a lifestyle beyond his means. That's really going to be, I think, the key to hopefully getting him going in the right direction. My friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org would be the ones to contact. They've worked with hundreds and hundreds of our faith and finance listeners, and you know, they'll serve him really, really well.
Okay. Thank you very much. That's really helpful. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Let's do this, James. You stay on the line. We'll get your information. Let me send you a copy of Howard Dayton's book, Your Money Counts, as our gift to you. I'd love for you to pass it along to him. What that's going to do, and this is going to be key, is help him to start to understand a biblical worldview of money, you know, starting with the idea that God owns it all and that he's a steward and money is a tool, and then the principles around lifestyle and debt and generosity and savings or investing that come from God's word that I think are really essential, and the need to establish the right habits and rhythms every month, starting with this idea that, you know what, I've I've got to live within God's provision. And, you know, it's called contentment. And doesn't mean I can't try to improve my situation and earn more over time. We were created to be workers, and that's part of God's economy. But whatever I have today, I can't live outside of that, despite the messages from this world that say, you know, we should consume all that we have. We can live beyond our means with something called debt, you know, and the whole fear and greed factor that our culture is just washing over us all the time. We've got to renew our minds with really a biblical worldview of money management, and that's what this book will do. So you pass it along to him as perhaps your gift to him. It's our gift to you, and we'd love to check in with you along the way if you have further questions, all right?
All right. Thank you, Rob. I really appreciate it.
All right, James. God bless you, my friend. We appreciate it. You know, folks, as we think about handling money God's way, it's so key that we understand a biblical worldview of money. Because just as I said, you know, the culture is going to bombard us with these messages that, you know what, we can redeem greed in the name of the American dream. And, you know, we can live beyond our means. In fact, we deserve to be able to have everything that we want. And the world will tell us that money and the things that money can buy will fill that God-sized hole in our lives. And what we will find is that it doesn't. It doesn't lead to security and significance. It leads to emptiness because material things, the temporal, were never intended to replace what only God can provide, and that is our identity in Him. And when we recognize that and begin to embrace our identity in Him, it really changes everything because then we get to a place where we realize that, you know what? Money is really a tool to accomplish God's purposes, but it's also one of the ways that we work out our spiritual journey. It's one of the most tangible evidences of the trust and the faith that we've placed in Him and depending upon Him day to day for His provision, which is perfect. And if we recognize that and we can reject this idea that money can satisfy in a way it was never intended to and live within God's economy, understanding His provision is perfect and complete and trustworthy, well, it changes everything in terms of our approach to money. Well, that's what we hope and pray for you, is that you understand you already have an abundance before even the first dollar. You remember, Jesus gave it all. He gave us His Son so that we could have eternal life when we're reconciled to Him. The substitutionary atonement that occurred with His death on the cross and then His resurrection to pay the penalty for our sins. We already have all that we need. Now money is becoming a tool then to accomplish God's purposes. Hey, your question is just around the corner, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
The AFA Resource Center has all your favorite items. Everything from books, movies, shirts, and even hats. Introducing AFA's polyester and twill hats, starting at just $18. Whether you're into fashion, a collector, or you're just having a bad hair day, these hats are just what you need. You can buy one for yourself or a friend. Purchase your AFA hat today at resources.afa.net.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's cards that give to missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit kingdomadvisors.com. That's kingdomadvisors.com.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
You know, we live in the most prosperous nation the world has ever seen, and yet there's still a lot of guilt and fear and frustration around money. Well, I think it comes down to answering the question, who owns it? The answer, of course, is a resounding God owns it all. And then, how much is enough? You know, how do we live with contentment, defining enough for both our lifestyle and our accumulation? Well, the only way we do that is on our knees before the Lord, asking Him to give us a vision for how we're to handle His money in a way that aligns with His goals and objectives for us. What are our values and our priorities? Let's allow that to inform how we handle money day to day. Hey, we're taking your calls and questions today on anything financial. We'd love to hear from you with whatever you're thinking about. We'll apply the principles we find in God's Word to your financial decisions and choices. Give us a call, 800-525-7000. Let's head to Minnesota. Hi, Jane. Thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Good morning. Hi. I have a question for you about whether the efficacy of paying off my mortgage.
Okay.
I have seen that in my last statement that my interest I'm paying is almost a little higher than when paid off against the principal. And the maturity date of this is 12/20/42. The interest rate is 3.5, and so there's a unpaid balance of 80,000 something.
Yes.
And I'm wondering if this is a good time to, as far as the economy is concerned, to pay off this mortgage.
Yes. It's a great question, Jane. Where would the funds come from that you would use to pay off the mortgage?
Savings have a good substantial amount in savings plus an annuity.
Okay.
And so amounting, a good substantial amount.
Okay. Yeah. Would you be comfortable just sharing roughly what you have in liquid assets?
In the savings and annuity would be about 900,000.
Okay. What portion of that is in the annuity versus the savings?
Around 460,000.
In the annuity?
Yes.
Okay. And then the balance in savings. And is that just in a interest bearing account at your bank, or where is the savings located?
No, it's in an investment.
Okay. And is it in stocks and bonds and somebody's managing it, or what types of investments?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, someone's managing it and in stocks and bonds, yes.
Okay, very good. And are you have you annuitized the annuity? Is it being paid out to you monthly, or is it still in the accumulation period?
It's accumulation.
Okay. And the same with the investments, you're not pulling any income from that account?
No.
Okay. All right. Very good. And what income sources do you have? Are you living on Social Security alone or something else?
No. I'm living, I have a small pension for my husband.
Okay.
Who passed away in May, and plus a little Social Security, not a lot.
Okay.
But I would say, it takes care of any expenses.
Yes.
And so that is working okay.
So what you have coming in from the pension and Social Security really does meet your obligations. Perhaps it doesn't leave you a whole lot left over if you wanted to take a trip or do something else, but it is enough to cover your monthly bills.
Right, and I have the opportunity to take cash out of my savings when I need it.
Sure, yes. Okay. Yeah, so the question is, you know, what's the right timing to pay off the mortgage at $80,000? I like the idea about you being debt-free, Jane. I mean, for somebody that, you know, doesn't have the assets you have, I might be concerned about them depleting too much of their liquid reserves such that it would, you know, give them limited flexibility. I think you've got enough here that you have the ability to do this, which would do a couple of things. Number one is it would give you peace of mind just to know you're unencumbered, you own your home free and clear. There's a non-financial benefit that comes from that. And then secondly, you know, it would remove this largest expense you have from your budget. So, you know, you'd have a little more breathing room with regard to your pension and Social Security income once that mortgage payment comes off the table, which would allow you to have a surplus, perhaps to, you know, put back into savings or increase your giving or, you know, take a trip every now and then, do something, you know, extra above your ordinary expenses. So I think for those reasons, I like this a lot. I think the question is the timing. So give me a sense of how that the investments have been doing, and do you have a sense of kind of how much they're down over the last year?
Like everything else in this economy, they've fluctuated and they've gone down and then come up. So it's very irregular, but with the interest rate I have at 3.5, I'm just curious if that's taking it out of the savings, which, you know, hasn't been doing all that great.
Right. So, yeah. So I think that's the key. You know, if it were me, given that you've got enough to cover this mortgage payment, I would probably let the investments recover before you pull them out. Is this in a retirement account or what we call a taxable account?
I imagine taxable because it's you know, stocks and bonds, and you don't need to report it.
It's not in an IRA or anything like that.
We did take that out.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So if it's not in a retirement account, then it's not. We don't have to worry about this being added to your taxable income when you take a withdrawal or what would be called a distribution. But we do have to be mindful of capital gains. So where you realize losses, you can offset gains. So what I would probably do is talk to your tax preparer about the right timing for that. Let him, or excuse me, your investment advisor, let him or her know that this is what you'd like to do. But I'd probably wait for this market to recover for as much as a year. And then I think that's the right time to go ahead and pull the money out and pay off the mortgage. Let's talk a little bit more off the air, and we'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Washington Watch advances a culture where human life is valued and religious liberty thrives.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins, host of Washington Watch, right here on the American Family Radio Network, inviting you to join us each weekend for the weekend edition of Washington Watch for the latest from our nation's capital on what is happening as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. You'll hear from policymakers, congressional leaders, and others each day, 4 p.m. Central Time. Be there.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Have you downloaded the Faith Fi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thrilled to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today with a few lines open, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Before we head back to the phones, here at the end of February, it's a great time to remind you that Faith and Finance is listener-supported. That's right. As a not-for-profit ministry, everything we do here at FaithFi is through your generous support. And so if you'd consider a gift here at month's end to the ministry, we'd certainly be grateful. It would help us reach our monthly goals and stay on track for the ministry we believe God has called us to here at Faith and Finance. So if you'd head to our website, faithfi.com, that's faithfi.com, and consider becoming a monthly or a one-time financial partner, we'd certainly be grateful. Again, faithfi.com, and just click Give. Thanks in advance for your support. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's head to Texas. Luke, you're our next caller, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Hey, good morning, and thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
Hey. I've got a question in with basically what you're teaching about are planning and setting a budget, and the part where you save 3 to 6 months of your income. I'm a truck driver, but I do attend a church when I'm in. And the pastor has had a lot of evangelists in, and I guess what they share about and encouraging, and even the pastor, is you got to give beyond your means. You know, we do our tithes, but we challenge God or allow God to challenge us. For example, one of the pastor, he travels, so he's like an evangelist also, but he says that God spoke to him and told him to give $50,000, you know, in pledge. And he didn't have that, but he took that type of a step in faith, and then God blessed him. So he said he didn't have anything, and, it, you know, like two nickels rubbed together, and now his church is blessed, is growing, and doing well. What is the best step to take? Should I focus, I want to give, but focus on building up that savings for what you say is an emergency fund in case my transmission goes out?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I appreciate the question. I absolutely do, Luke. And I think it's the right question to be asking because, you know, there's competing priorities. So we've got to, as stewards of God's resources, we want to be found faithful in managing those resources. And that means that we need to be reducing debt because there's a lot of warnings in Scripture about the use of debt. We need to be savers. There's precious oil in the house of the wise. The foolish man swallows it up. King Solomon tells us in Proverbs, so we want to be savers with a portion of what God entrusts to us, and we should be generous givers, and we should be giving, I think, generously, not stingy in our giving. 2 Corinthians 9:6, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. But it's about our hearts, I think, at the end of the day, Luke, and ultimately, it's a matter of asking the Lord what he would have us to do, praying about it, really thinking through it. And I think living in the tension of balancing saving versus, you know, both for the short term and the long term and our giving is something that allows us to grow our faith. And that's part of what happens when we see money as a tool is we begin to understand that through this daily demonstration of our faith, which reveals where we've placed our trust and what we value, you know, we're in our financial decisions and spending decisions, we're actually working out our faith, and God's growing us up through that process of wrestling through that. So how do you approach that? Well, number one, I'd pray about it and ask the Lord just to give you wisdom and a real conviction around what he would have you to give. Because if, you know, God places it on somebody else's heart to give $50,000 away when they don't have a whole lot, well, that's between them and the Lord. And I would say the same is true for you. I can't tell you what you should be giving. I can just tell you that God's word certainly reinforces this idea that we should be diligent savers. So we should be wise stewards, but we should also be generous sowers, sowing into God's kingdom. Because when we give, well, there's incredible benefits to that. God gets the glory. We're drawn closer to the Lord as we respond to his leading. We become more like Christ. We have the pleasure of seeing God use us for good in the world. We proclaim the good news of Jesus as we give. So all of these things are great. So I think, you know, my starting point would be to say, okay, you know, I want to give systematically. And I think that's where the principle of the tithe can be very helpful. We start by saying, I want to give proportionately and systematically on God's increase. And so that's where you'd maybe start at 10%, or if you're not there, start somewhere, and then maybe look at a progressive giving plan where you bump that up 1% a year. And then beyond that, clearly that should be a starting point, not an ending point. And we say, okay, God, you know, you told me to give as I've been prospered. I should give cheerfully, not under compulsion. So I want to look for ways, and I want to be in tune with you through my prayer life to see opportunities to give beyond that. And that may involve sacrifice. It may involve you taking a savings account you were saving for one specific purpose and just giving it away because the Lord places something on your heart, or it may involve you delaying, you know, a trip you were planning to take. I mean, it can look like any number of things, but I think as you begin to experience the joy and the satisfaction of being partnered with God where he's at work through your giving, you're going to find ways to reorder your finances to do even more. So do I think it's bad for you to put away 3 to 6 months' expenses, even if that means that money is not being given away right now? Absolutely not. I think that's fine. But I do think there should be an ongoing conversation with you and the Lord about not only your systematic giving, but your sacrificial giving beyond that, and just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, I wish I could tell you definitively what to give, but I can't, because ultimately it's between you and the Lord. And I think that's a good thing, because that involves you kind of wrestling through that with him. But it's not because somebody else told you to do it. It's because, you know, the Lord has really led you that way. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Good. Give me your thoughts, though. What do you, does that prompt other questions in your mind, or is that, you know, really helpful in terms of just thinking through where you go from here?
Yes, sir. The prayer to really think and be praying about, I guess, using all my funds wisely.
Yeah.
I get their caution, because I had given before And I did want to give and prayed about it, but then through, being laid off, it really wasn't being fired. It was a place where I was working, lack of work. I was laid off.
Okay.
And that set everything into, I wouldn't say a spiral, but the funds were not there.
Yeah.
To carry me through the layoff. So then, babe, what you do, have to use a credit card so yes, sir, I still need to pray about things. I would say I don't want to be caught in that situation again. Okay. You're out of work and you don't have the funds to take care of yourself properly.
Well, and I think that's why we see the wisdom in Proverbs about having, you know, precious oil in the house of the wise and the foolish man swallowing it up. So I think you should absolutely prioritize having those 3 to 6 months expenses to weather the next storm when it comes. But then let's also follow the Lord's leading in our giving. We'll be right back.
Sandy Rios 24/7. It's not a morning show. It's an all-day show, fueled by the wit and wisdom of Sandy Rios.
If you have a smartphone, I think you should download the AFR app.
Sandy Rios 24/7 is on the podcast page at AFR.net.
I have, you know, so many listeners from the radio show who are now listening to the podcast.
Sandy Rios 24/7.
You live my prayers all the time.
Sandy Rios 24/7 on the podcast page at AFR.net.
Jenna Ellis in the morning.
You need to be very concerned about what your children are being exposed to if they go to a public school or even if they go to a Christian school. Parents are not just allowed, they have a constitutionally protected fundamental right that is God-given to direct the education, well-being, and faith options of their children.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
45,000. That's how many times FaithFi referred a listener to a certified Kingdom advisor last year. And for good reason. These are trusted financial, legal, and accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking on the Find a CKA button on the homepage.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
So glad to have you with us today on Faith and Finance, where we know that God owns it all and we're stewards to be faithful managers of what God entrusts to us. So we look to God's Word for principles so we can move forward with confidence, trusting timeless, transcendent wisdom as we make financial decisions each day. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Before we head back to the phones, it's time to check in with our good friend Bob Dahl. Do you ever wonder where the market's headed? What do we do in this economy right now? Are we going to hit a recession? And how should our investments reflect that? Well, I rely each week on the Dahl's Deliberations. That's Bob Dahl's weekly investment commentary. You can sign up to receive one in your inbox each week at crossmarkglobal.com. Bob, good morning, sir.
Good morning. I love your question. Do you ever wonder where the market's going? Yes, every day of the week, my friend.
Yeah, you've got a little more riding on it on that question, though, than we do, I guess, right?
I guess I'm paid to have an opinion.
I guess you are.
Right or wrong.
That's exactly right. Well, Bob, there was, as there is every week, so many big ideas in this week's Dahl's Deliberations. Let's talk about this Fed pivot that everybody's talking about. You seem to think that the Fed pivot, if we do get such a thing this year, might be a little different than what others are expecting, huh?
Yeah, I mean, the conventional expectation is the Fed stops raising rates and we look to when are they going to lower rates. But I'm suggesting maybe the real pivot is that they give up on 2% inflation, realizing these times are different and we're not going to get back to 2% without a really nasty recession. Maybe they'll compromise and settle for 3%. Maybe that's the pivot that we're all looking for and we'll see in the months to come.
Yeah, because if they don't, Bob, and the rate hikes continue, we're pretty likely going to see a recession of some kind this year, right?
That's my fear and many others, that the Fed has already raised rates at the second fastest pace in U.S. history, and that will have a dampening effect on economic activity. And if they keep raising rates in that effort to get inflation down to 2%, they might really do the economy in.
Yeah. The interesting thing, Bob, is here 2 months into the year, the economy is still holding up fairly well to this point, perhaps better than some would have expected it would, huh?
Without question. I think real economic growth and inflation have been stronger than people expected on January 1st, myself included. And that the debate, therefore, is, well, how long will this economy stay strong? Led by the labor market, with capital spending not too far behind it, it's kept the economy going pretty well, and flat out consumer behavior, consumption's been pretty strong too. So maybe this elusive recession gets pushed back in time, Rob.
Yeah. Obviously, one of the bright spots in the last year, and there weren't many of them, was in the energy space, both 2021 and 2022. You made some comments about the prospect of that continuing this year, which many folks thought we'd see a cooling in the energy sector. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, so the energy stocks last year were up 50%, while the stock market itself was down roundly 20%, just to catch listeners up. Our view is the energy bull market is not over. These stocks are not expensive despite their run, because earnings and cash flow have done very, very well. And I would highlight the energy sector's discipline around using their capital. They're not just taking the money and punching holes in the ground willy-nilly looking for oil and gas. They're far more disciplined, which is why they're husbanding their cash and getting a better return on those investments.
Yeah, interesting. Well, certainly something to keep an eye on. Last question, Bob. You made a quick comment just about the budget deficit and the federal debt being a major issue both this summer but also for years to come. Obviously, this is the million-dollar question, but where do you see that going in terms of when the debate will actually get to a place where some real change can be made to address this seemingly uncontrollable, rapid increase in the amount of federal debt we have?
Yeah, it is a problem that's been brewing for some time. And, I've been not overly worried, because interest rates until a year ago have been very low. So interest expense hasn't been a problem. But now we face the debt ceiling, a required increase in that in the middle of this year. And that's going to create an amazing amount of debate between Republicans and Democrats, conservatives and liberals. They're going to have to attack it at some point. They'll probably kick the can down the field a bit and buy some more time. But eventually, whether it's higher taxes or, wouldn't it be nice, curtailed spending, more debt issuance, these things are in our future, given that we've run up this $30+ trillion of debt.
Yeah, I believe the CBO was out recently with just their estimates on interest expense. I mean, it really is getting to the point with these higher interest rates that it's becoming problematic, isn't it?
It is, Rob, and it is now, that is interest expense, the second largest item on the Fed's income statement, second only to defense. And in not too many years, it'll surpass defense and it'll be the biggest item for us to see our tax money going to. Not
wow.
A pleasant thought.
No, not at all. Well, Bob, always appreciate your insights, my friend. Thanks for stopping by today. We'll hope you have a great week, and we'll talk to you in a week's time.
Have a great week.
All right. Bob Dahl, Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. You can learn more and sign up for his weekly Dahl's Deliberations at crossmarkglobal.com. All right, back to the phones here in our final moments of the broadcast today. Perhaps room for one more question, 800-525-7000. To Oregon, Jane, thank you for your patience. Go ahead.
Hi there. I'm still dithering. I called before, about
problems with the new tax stuff with regard online selling.
Yes.
I sell vintage and things like that. I have a friend that's pushing me to get an LLC. You know, I'm a dyslexic artist, not a paper pusher, and I like to keep things as simple as possible. But she seems to think I should have one, and I don't know quite what to do. I'm asking your suggestions.
Yeah, there can be some benefits. I mean, they're very easy to form, and you have complete control and flexibility to run the business. The limited liability makes lenders more likely to give you credit, and so if you're needing to borrow to operate your business, okay. Of course, you receive all the business profits because everything flows through. And the downside is you're personally liable for all business debt with partners if you have them in the LLC, but if not, it's just all flowing through to you. So creditors, for instance, could attach your personal property to satisfy a claim. And then since it has to be dissolved upon your death, then it can be a little more difficult to raise capital, although that may not be something you're looking to do. So I think the key would just be, you know, is there, you know, any benefit to you by having an LLC versus, you know, you just being a sole proprietor with an S corp? And, you know, I think that really is
That's
something
an
you
S-corp.
Probably just a sole proprietor corporation where everything just kind of flows back through to you on your 1040, you know, as opposed to having a C corp where you pay taxes.
Do I have to apply for that too? Because I'm just me right
yeah,
now.
You just have to file the appropriate paperwork with the state to set up the corporation. Are you incorporated right now?
Oh. No,
you're
I'm not.
Okay. Mm-mm. Yeah. So that could be really your next step. You know, that because, you know, that's going to allow you to make sure that you're keeping everything separate from your personal finances. You know, it allows you to have some additional benefits, you know, in terms of, you know, the business, you know, building credit, you know, the idea of the perpetual life of the company. You could transfer the ownership if you wanted to. It also allows you to, you know, have more clarity with the IRS if you're trying to deduct business expenses so that everything is not, you know, mixed with your personal finances. So, you know, I would probably check. Do you have a tax preparer that you work with, Jane?
I have a friend that tells me where to put the numbers.
Okay. Yeah. So I'd probably talk to that person and then, you know, you'd have to. I'm sorry?
He's the one that's pushing me.
Okay. So, you know, I would probably ask him just based on your specific situation, what he sees as the benefits. You'd have to typically have an attorney just draft the articles of incorporation and, you know, handle the annual filings and so forth. But I think you are going to find some benefits, you know, in incorporating in terms of primarily personal liability protection and the ability to build credit if you need it. And also just from a tax standpoint, being able to deduct certain expenses along the way. So I think it probably does make some sense. I'd dig into it a little deeper and then probably check with a business attorney in your area to see about the cost of setting that corporation up and what you'd need to do to keep it active. We appreciate you checking with us, Jane. All the best to you and that business of yours. God bless you. Quickly to Louisiana, Steve, I understand you want to know about getting your credit report. Is that right?
Yeah, I heard you a couple of weeks back. You had a phone number you could call or where you could, you know, get your...
I would do it at least four times a year, and I'll give you a website and a phone number. Annualcreditreport.com is where you can get free credit reports. That's the government's website, annualcreditreport.com. I'd pull them four times a year. If you want a toll-free number, 877-322-8228. That's 877-322-8228. Hope that helps you, Steve. Thanks for calling today. Folks, here at Month's End, if you'd consider being a financial partner of ours here at Faith and Finance, we'd certainly appreciate it. Just head to our website, faithfi.com, and just click give. And thanks in advance. I couldn't do this without my amazing team, Pat Montague, Devin Patrick, and Jim Henry. For those folks, I'm Rob West, and we're so thankful that you were along with us today. I hope you have a great rest of your day, and come back and join us tomorrow. I'll be here, Lord willing. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.